Imagine for a second a global technology race. Like, we are talking about the kind of high-stakes, multi-billion-dollar sprint that basically defines an entire century.
Right, the kind of race everyone is watching.
Exactly. And you look at the scoreboard, expecting to see, you know, the biggest, most famous American companies leading the pack. Companies like Tesla, Figure AI, Agility Robotics. But you don't see them at the top.
Not even close, actually.
Yeah, in fact, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the spreadsheet just to find them as this, like, tiny footnote.
Yeah.
Because right now, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the robotics world is China.
Yeah, it's a profound shift.
It really is. So today we are taking a deep dive into a massive stack of research, primarily this exhaustive 2026 report on the Chinese robot industry. And it details a completely staggering reality, which is that in the year 2025, 9 out of every 10 humanoid robots sold on Earth came from Chinese companies.
9 out of 10? I mean, this shift in the center of gravity for global manufacturing here is just, it's massive. And the sheer velocity of it has caught almost everyone off guard.
How did it even happen so fast?
Well, the American companies you mentioned, they are certainly innovating, right? But they are operating on a completely different scale. When we look at this 2026 report, we aren't just looking at, you know, prototypes in a lab. We are looking at a full-blown industrialized machine.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's start right at the top of that machine, the battle for the crown. Because in January 2026, the research firm Omdia dropped a report ranking the world's top humanoid sellers for the previous year.
Right. The Omdia rankings.
Yeah, and the top 6 spots were all Chinese companies. Meanwhile, those American giants. The data shows they sold around 150 units each. The company sitting at the absolute top of Omdia's list is one called Agibot.
And Agibot's trajectory is honestly the perfect example of this velocity we're talking about. I mean, this is a company founded in just 2023.
Wow, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. The founder is a former Huawei engineer who was part of their elite Genius Boy program. He operated under the online alias Zhuijun. And he partnered with a former Huawei vice president to handle the aggressive business scaling side of things.
So they had the tech and the business strategy locked down early.
Exactly. By the end of 2024, they had produced about 900 units. Just a few months later, in January 2025, they crossed 1,000. By the end of 2025, they hit 5,000. And then, and this is the wild part, in March 2026, their 10,000th unit rolled off the assembly line. It was a model called the Yuanjing A3.
Wait, they doubled their production in 3 months. That is absurd.
It's exponential growth, yeah.
But looking through these notes, what really jumps out to me is that Agibot doesn't even seem to care that much about the physical metal and plastic of the robots.
No, they don't. The hardware is almost a secondary concern for them. Agibot's real master plan is software. It's about ecosystem lock-in. Well, they developed what is called a foundation model. Think of a foundation model as the core digital brain. Instead of writing rigid code that says, you know, pick up this specific cup, you train a massive neural network on how the physical world works so it can learn to do almost anything. They call their brain GO1.
Okay, makes sense. A general purpose brain.
Right. And then they took the massive data set they used to train this brain, they called it Agibot World, and they made it entirely open source.
Wait, so they just gave away the secret sauce for free?
They did, entirely for free. Because, think about it, if you are a robotics researcher at a university in Europe or a startup in Silicon Valley, and someone offers you a world-class pre-trained robot brain for free, you're going to use it.
Oh, absolutely. Why build it from scratch?
Exactly. And once an entire laboratory invests thousands of hours building their own applications on top of Agibot's operating system, they're practically never going to switch to a competitor. It creates permanent lock-in.
Ah, I see. It's the classic customer acquisition play. Get them hooked on the software. But right as Agibot is taking this massive victory lap based on Omdia's numbers, another huge player steps into the ring and basically cries foul.
Unitree.
Yes, Unitree, based in Hangzhou. Now, if you're listening to this deep dive, you probably know Unitree even if the name doesn't immediately ring a bell. They make those robotic dogs that do backflips on the internet.
Yeah, the viral videos.
Right. They even had their robots featured on the massive Spring Festival Gala on national television in China. And Unitree comes out and says, no, Omdia got it wrong. We sold 5,500 units. We are number one.
And Unitree brings a completely different weapon to this fight. They are incredibly financially healthy.
Which is rare, right?
Extremely rare. In an industry where almost everyone is just burning through mountains of venture capital just to keep the lights on, Unitree actually makes money. They reported a revenue of nearly 1.7 billion RMB in 2025. That's roughly 250 million US dollars, with a net profit of about $41 million.
Profitability in cutting-edge robotics is basically unheard of.
It changes everything for them. They achieved this by selling a low-cost humanoid called the G1, and they paired that with the steady cash flow from their famous robot dogs. That financial health allowed them to shatter regulatory records, actually.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, they applied to list on the Star Market, which is China's tech-focused stock board, and they got approval in just 73 days. Plus, they secured a massive cosign from NVIDIA. Jensen Huang publicly announced that NVIDIA is adopting Unitree's new chassis as a standard design for academic research.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that. Everyone assumed NVIDIA would partner with a Western company like Boston Dynamics or something, but they went straight to Unitree.
Mm.
But wait, I want to go back to this fight over the numbers for a second.
The 5,168 versus 5,500.
Exactly. Agibot claims 5,168 units. Unitree claims 5,500. How can they both look at the exact same market and claim to be the undisputed biggest?
It comes down to semantics, honestly. It's about how you define a humanoid robot.
Okay, how are they defining it differently?
The Omdia report that crowned Agibot included robots that have a human-like torso and two arms, sure, but they roll around on wheels or treads. Unitree's count was strictly pure bipedal robots, meaning, you know, two legs.
Oh, come on. It's like two dealerships fighting over who sold the most motorcycles, but one guy is secretly counting tricycles to boost his numbers.
That's a great way to put it.
It just shows that we don't even have agreed upon rules for this race yet.
The ground rules are completely fluid right now. But, you know, while Agibot and Unitree are fighting over who shipped the most boxes, we really need to ask the more important question, which is, what happens when those boxes are open?
Right. Where are they actually working? Because building a robot is one thing, but deploying it is a whole other beast. And this brings us to a company called UBTech. They are based in Shenzhen, and they are essentially the pioneers of putting these machines onto the actual factory floor.
Yeah, they took a very industrial approach.
Yeah, they didn't sell as many volume units, only about 1,000 in 2025. But they put their Walker S-Series robots directly onto the assembly lines of major electric vehicle factories, mm-hmm. like Zeekr and NIO.
UBTech really tackled the hardest part of industrial deployment, which is uptime. I mean, if a robot dies on an assembly line, the entire factory grinds to a halt. You lose millions.
So how did they solve that?
They designed their Walker S2 model for 247 continuous operation. When the robot's battery runs low, it autonomously walks away from the line to a charging station. It reaches around, removes its own depleted battery pack, slots in a fully charged one in about 3 minutes, and walks right back to work.
A 3-minute autonomous pit stop. That is incredible.
Yeah.
And they are stacking up a massive client list. BYD, Foxconn, Audi. They even signed a deal with Airbus for aircraft assembly.
It's a very impressive roster.
It is, but here's where I have to pause. Because I was reading the source text for this deep dive, and there is this shocking detail that I just cannot get past. UBTech themselves admitted that their Walker S2 robot only operates at about 50% of the efficiency of a human worker.
Yes, that's a crucial detail.
Think about that for a second. If you own a factory, why would you hire a worker who is literally half as good as a human?
Is UBTech essentially just selling an incredibly expensive PR stunt to these car factories?
I know, it seems totally counterintuitive to pay millions for a slower worker. But you have to understand, these automotive giants aren't buying current efficiency, they're buying future capability.
What do you mean by that?
Every time that UBTech robot fumbles a bolt, or, you know, takes twice as long to inspect a panel, or struggles with a glare from the factory lighting, it is gathering real-world physical data.
Ah, so the factory isn't just a workplace, it's a giant training ground.
Precisely. The physical world is incredibly messy. You cannot perfectly simulate the chaos of a real factory floor in a computer program. The robots need to experience unexpected obstacles, slight variations in car parts, humans walking past them unexpectedly.
So they're taking the hit now to learn.
Exactly. By accepting 50% efficiency today, these factories are generating the training data that will allow the AI models to run at 150% efficiency tomorrow. But if everyone is rushing into these car factories, it sounds like a race to the bottom for the cheapest labor. Do any of these companies look at that impending bloodbath and just like walk the other way?
Yeah, actually, one company did exactly that, Fourier, based in Shanghai. They started back in 2015 making rehabilitation robotics, you know, things like exoskeletons for physical therapy.
Right.
When they pivoted to humanoids, they looked at the logistics and manufacturing market and saw a brutal price war coming. What the Chinese tech industry calls involution, basically slashing prices to the bone just to survive. So Fourier stepped completely out of that arena.
They took their medical background and launched the GR3 model, focusing entirely on healthcare and emotional interaction, right?
Yeah. By focusing on hospitals and care facilities, they entered a high margin, high barrier to entry market. Medical data is highly sensitive, and the safety requirements for a robot operating around patients are extreme.
You can't just have a robot glitch out next to a hospital bed.
Exactly. But once you pass those hurdles and get integrated into a hospital system, you don't get replaced easily. It attracted massive investment from SoftBank's Vision Fund and a Saudi sovereign wealth fund. They only shipped about 300 units in 2025, but they are selling them at a massive premium.
Okay, so Fourier proved you can survive by charging a premium in hospitals. But what happens to the companies left fighting for scraps on the factory floor? Because seeing Unitree go public in 73 days triggered an absolute gold rush. We are seeing a new wave of startups that are breaking all the rules.
Oh, this is definitely the Wild West phase of the industry. The barrier to entry has plummeted, allowing academic institutions to spin out incredibly specialized companies that basically rethink the basics. Take Galbet, for example, a company born out of Peking University.
What did they do differently?
They looked at the humanoid form and asked a very simple question: why do we need legs?
Right. I mean, if you are working in a pharmacy or a completely flat concrete warehouse, legs are just a luxury. They drain your battery and risk the robot falling over.
Exactly. So Galbit built a semi-humanoid, human on top, and a highly stable wheeled base on the bottom. And because they focused all their engineering energy on the arms and hands, they achieved a 95% success rate in grasping objects they have never even seen before.
95%, that's huge.
And they trained the robot using 1 billion frames of synthetic data.
Let's define that for the listener real quick. What exactly is synthetic data in this context?
It means they didn't train the robot's brain in the physical world. If you want a robot to learn how to grab 1,000 different types of oddly shaped boxes, doing that in a physical lab would take years. So they build a highly realistic video game, a physics simulation. They put a virtual robot inside the simulation and have it practice picking up millions of virtual objects at light speed. By the time the physical robot is actually built, its brain has already practiced for lifetimes.
That grasping ability is the holy grail for logistics. But honestly, the thing that really made my eyes go wide was the price tags on some of these new bots. You have a company called Engine AI. They released a humanoid robot, the SE Year One, for $5,400.
It's unbelievable.
$5,400. If you wanted to buy a decent used car tomorrow, you would probably pay more than that. And they are assembling one every 15 minutes in Shenzhen. Then another company, Limex Dynamics, launches their Qion series for $6,800.
Those numbers fundamentally break the traditional hardware business model. I mean, Engine AI and Limex are essentially loss leading the hardware. They are selling these complex machines at, or maybe even below, the cost to make them.
It's just like Apple giving schools cheap iPads in the 90s,
like a
right?
perfect parallel, yeah. If an entire generation of robotics students at MIT or Stanford or Tsinghua learn to program their AI models on a $5,400 Engine AI robot, when those students graduate and start their own billion-dollar companies, what hardware are they going to buy?
They will buy what they know.
Exactly. The painfully low price of the robot is just a customer acquisition cost to completely dominate the developer ecosystem.
Okay, but this raises a massive question that we have to answer. How? How on earth is China building a complex bipedal machine with sensors, joints, and AI for the price of a 2012 Honda Civic?
The secret isn't actually in the AI startups. The secret lies in a completely different, much older, and honestly, much less glamorous industry. To understand how a $5,400 humanoid is even possible, you have to look at traditional industrial robotics. In the year 2025 alone, China manufactured over 770,000 traditional industrial robots.
Over 770,000. That is roughly 60 times the number of humanoid robots produced in the entire world that same year.
And that sheer volume is the invisible foundation of everything we've talked about today. It's about process knowledge. For decades, the massive caged robotic arms that, you know, weld car frames, they were dominated by Japanese and Swiss companies like FNUC and ABB.
Right, the big legacy players.
But Chinese companies aggressively pushed into that market over the last decade. They forced the massive domestic production of two critical components, servo motors and gear reducers.
Break those down for me. What role do they play in the robot?
Think of servo motors as the robot's muscles. They provide the precise power and movement. The gear reducers are the joints, allowing those muscles to move smoothly under really heavy loads. Chinese companies forced these muscles and joints into hundreds of thousands of factory arms, driving the cost of manufacturing them straight into the floor.
Wow.
Then you have companies like Jaka, building collaborative robots, cobots, that work safely next to humans, which forced them to perfect ultra-cheap collision sensors.
And didn't the massive Chinese appliance maker, Midea, buy a huge German robotics company a while back?
They did. They bought Kyuco in 2016. Mm-hmm. Kyuco was one of the premier industrial robotics companies in the world, so they absorbed all that world-class design intellectual property and combined it with the raw, brutal scale of the Chinese supply chain.
Okay, let me make sure I'm fully grasping this. These shiny sci-fi humanoid startups that we see doing backflips on YouTube, they aren't actually inventing the physical components from scratch.
Not at all.
They are basically just standing on the shoulders of millions of boring, caged, robotic welding arms. Without that massive, invisible battery of cheap muscles, joints, and sensors that were perfected over a decade for traditional factory bots, the $5,400 humanoid is completely impossible.
Exactly. The humanoid startups are just shopping in a massive, highly refined, ultra-cheap supermarket of robotic parts that the industrial sector already built. That is the true moat. Anyone can write an AI model, but having the physical ecosystem to build the body at scale is something else entirely.
But if we are talking about an ecosystem pumping out robots for the price of a used Honda, we have to do a reality check. Because reading the final section of this report, the investment prospectuses and independent audits tell a slightly different story. There are cracks in the facade.
A healthy dose of skepticism is definitely required here. When you look past the slick press releases and dig into the actual financial filings, the math gets very fuzzy.
Let's lay out these cracks. We already talked about the first one, the disputed crowns. Agibot and Unitree both claiming number one, because nobody can agree if a robot with wheels counts as a humanoid. But the second crack is deployment reality.
Right. Where are they actually going?
Yeah, Unitree claims that number one spot based on 5,500 units. But their own IPO prospectus reveals that almost 74% of their sales are just going to researchers in universities. They aren't actually working in the real world.
And the optics get worse when you look at the industrial placements. Of the tiny 9% of Unitree robots that actually go to commercial settings, half of those are just acting as lobby greeters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The mental image of a robot building a car is very different from the reality of a robot standing in a corporate lobby giving directions to the restroom.
That's a huge difference. And then there's the fuzzy math. Crack number three. The report calls out UBTech directly here. Some early PR sources claimed UBTech's humanoid division revenue exploded by over 2,200% in 2025. But independent audits showed their total company revenue only grew 28% to about $87 million.
Someone is heavily massaging the numbers to secure venture capital.
Which leads directly to the fourth crack, governance and regulatory red flags. We mentioned Unitree's incredibly fast 73-day IPO. But independent audits showed the founder only holds about one-third of the economic equity in the company, yet somehow controls nearly 69% of the voting power.
And that level of centralized control makes institutional investors very nervous.
Understandably. And right before their IPO on April 1st, 2026, the Chinese Securities Association randomly selected Unitree for an on-site inspection, just pulled their name out of a hat.
Right.
A sudden regulatory audit can completely tank an IPO. It sounds to me like there's a massive fake-it-till-you-make-its culture happening here. Everyone is painting lead to look like gold before the investment bubble pops.
The hyperbole is undeniably thick, and the creative accounting is rampant. But, and this is the crucial synthesis we have to make for anyone trying to understand this industry, we cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Fair point.
Even if you discount the 2,200% growth claims, even if you acknowledge that a robot is only half as fast as a human, and even if you subtract the wheeled robots from the bipedal ones, the underlying volume remains staggering.
The metal is real.
The metal is very real. The indisputable bottom line of this report is that in 2025, 90% of the world's humanoid robots were manufactured in China. They have successfully industrialized the anatomy of the robot.
They've industrialized the anatomy. That really puts it into perspective. We can argue over who has the crown and whether the math adds up, but the kingdom is clearly established. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We've covered an incredible amount of ground today, from the dizzying heights of 10,000 units rolling off assembly lines to the invisible supply chain of industrial arms making it all possible to the very real fuzzy math hiding in the spreadsheets. But before we go, I want to leave you with one final lingering question to ponder.
The ultimate implication of this hardware dominance.
Exactly. If China has completely cornered the market on building the actual physical bodies of these robots at dirt cheap prices, what happens when the world's tech giants, wherever they are, finally perfect artificial general intelligence, when the ultimate AGI brain is finally switched on, whose hardware do you think that superintelligence is going to wake up inside of? Keep questioning the numbers, keep looking past the headlines, and we will see you next time on The Deep Dive.